glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let us move expeditiously this morning into our dissertation as we say grace and peace to everyone that's here, and we welcome those that are watching and listening by way of our webcast. Take your document, which if you look into either the audio or the video sectors, you will see an icon and you can click on it and this entire document will come up. Repeat after me. Scripture comprehensions of measures.
Scriptural comprehensions of measures.
The matrix. Now, let's go to page 30, and what we're going to do today, we're going to finish that second paragraph. That's the plan anyway. Then for those that are watching, we will be, after today, next week, we will be conveying the Father's Day message, and after that, the ministerial staff will be conveying, and you will be getting the same thing. Amen. The gospel of the grace of God, dealing with the essence of what is spiritual and what is actualized in the essence of eternality versus manifestation and testimony in time. We shall finish that second paragraph, and then when we come back in the fall, we shall finish the volume, we shall engage volume 2 of the document, which volume 1 we spent some 5 years or less conveying scripture distinction. Actualization by God's decree in eternity, that is scripture distinction, right? Of actualization by God's decree in eternity from manifestation in time. And so we shall move to the completion of that document and have along the Lord lead us in there. And then, Lord willing, somewhere down the line, we will return back to this document and go back into the heavier areas of relativism and physicality, secularity measures. But this morning, let us go to page 30, second paragraph. You can, Gavin is our designated reader. Scripturally, let's turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 5. As I've said before, the typist made an error there. That's me. It's Romans chapter 8, verse 5. In addition to that, I want to touch on some things this morning that's going to require us, that we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18, as well as we're going to touch on, there's a little nugget I'm going to pull out of that Corinthians verse there, as well as in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5. Well, Pastor, just follow now. Just, oh my God, is it worth digging it out? If it's going to aid you in the sense of somehow mitigating those problems and situations that are daily beating you up, Amen. If it's going to be an aid and relief, Is it worth it?
Amen.
Is it worth it? Is it worth? Is it worth digging this out?
Amen.
Do we spend our time this morning on the surface aspect of those things that we experience in the microcosm, of just those things that are around us? And do we want to know more than what Israel knew? Do you want to know more than what even the disciples knew? So let's wholeheartedly embrace and move into the mystery and dwell there. Even to the point where Paul writes to Timothy in one place, and he says, preach these things. And then in another place he said, don't preach anything else. So what you have heard from me, Paul's not bragging, so that's nonsense. Paul was the delivery boy. He wasn't responsible for the message. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Everybody have it, amen. All right, Brother Deacon Reed.
We're reading from the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, the 5th verse.
Now, what I'm going to do this morning, the 3 verses I've called, I'm going to basically do a combination of textual synthetic and textual natural. In other words, what I'm saying is we're going deal with what's there, and we're going to augment it just a little bit. And of course, the nugget that we want to pull out of this is something that we are going to be hitting on very heavily when we come back in the fall. That's relativism. Everybody say relativism.
Relativism.
How things relate. Ism is the process of something. So how, what is the process? What is the process of relating that gets us to the truth? That gets us to reality or actuality. And in that sense, we must understand that all things are according to God.
According to God.
Everybody say according to God.
According to God.
All right, that 5th verse, Brother Deacon, I'm tempted, but time is not going to allow, you know, y'all won't give me my 3 hours, so... Verse 5.
Romans 8 and the 5th verse, King James Version. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit.
All right, let's go to the Greek text. Now, again, as we have for the last several hours, we have been juxtaposing or comparing spirituality, I should say the benefits of spirituality over the insufficiencies of physicality.
Hallelujah.
Got 2 spheres here. All right, read.
Now Romans 8 and 5 from the interlinear Greek text. For the according to flesh being...
That's the physical. Here we have the Greek word sarka. Sarka. And I noticed the brother that wrote in the email, he used the Greek word there. You notice that? Oh, my God. The physical. The flesh. Read.
The things of the flesh mind. But
so the word there for the according to flesh being undas, being. We want to focus on that this morning. In the sense of relativity, what is being has to be relative to something.
All right.
What is? Here, he speaks of that which is physical in the physical world. Which is defined as the universe. Which is comprised of what is revealed, what is seen.
Bring it down here. Hallelujah. Yes.
Which is a separate and distinct sphere from what is.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's look at what is.
Mm-hmm.
Read the second part of that, Brother Deacon.
But
you see, we have a strong, what we call a strong adversative conjunction,
mm-hmm.
which says, I beg to differ with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is a, you got your Greek lexicon out there, both of you. All of you. It is a superordinate conjunction. It's a superordinate. It's super. It overrides the first part of this verse. In other words, what we're going to move to in the latter part of the verse is superimposed and dominates the first part of the verse. But, read.
But the according to spirit, the things of the spirit.
According to, or relative to, the spirit.
That's right.
Spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Spirit. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we say spiritual, many construe that to be some form of mysticism. Spiritual and the mystics don't mix. The mystics are just some hazy form of physicality. You hear me this morning? Spirituality is not a feeling. Spirituality is not a trance. Spirituality is not something you conjured together as you move into some ecstasy of mind, of transcendental meditation. That's not spiritual. In fact, that is dangerously physical because they call it supernatural. And when you soup up anything that is natural, physical, that's not good, that's bad.
Hallelujah.
Follow now.
Mm-hmm.
Follow this very, 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 very closely.
Mm-hmm.
According to, kata, relative to, the essence of spirituality, it is a sphere.
Come on with it.
Wherein nothing is physical.
Nothing. Mm-hmm.
Nothing is according to the seen. In fact, it is the unseen. And that's why you can't see God, because he is spirit. That's why we can't, with our natural eyes, see him.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Glory.
That period will come.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
I hear you.
Mm-hmm. And we're already there. But in this frame, it's not exactly what we comprehend. Now, When we speak of spiritual, we're talking about the unseen.
Right. That's it.
That is with the natural eyes. We're talking about everything according to God's saying.
Yes. Yes.
That's what spirituality is.
Yeah, right.
It is to see a realm according to God's saying. And that's the only way anything exists. And that's where everything is actualized.
Yes.
Actually exists in God's saying, not what we see.
I hear you.
This is why we get to the grace gospel. Paul writes to those Corinthians and he said, well, they were very, very, they were sight seers. He said, we walk by what?
Faith.
Not by what?
Not
by what we see. Oh, that is the toughest thing for God's people to grasp. That things are not in what we see. What is that? We're not going to go there. But we were in the Sunday Bible school this morning. Basically, that was 11:3, right? No, not that Greek. That Greek word expresses. I'm not going to get into the breakdown. I want to get where I'm going. I mean, it's that creation. It's according to a saying. That's what 11:3. You Greek scholars. The ages and everything of them is according to a saying. So that what's appearing, what's manifesting, what is being revealed is not coming out of the scene, but it's coming according to where creation actually abides. And that is the same. That's what spirituality is. And so you have two spheres here, and this is why Paul, in this passage, and we don't have time this morning, and go back to some of the other presentations of ministering, you recall that we had the two spheres, and actually the essence of spirituality, where things abide according to God's saying. That's where things are, always have been, and always will be. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing in the matrix, which is nothing but a unit of manifestation.
That's it.
It's the reflector.
Amen.
Oh yes. Yeah. Everybody look out the window. See the light there?
Mm-hmm.
The sun?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you just saw a minute ago, then that one's gone, but it left the sun 8.5 minutes ago. So what you see is the reflector of what is. I'm just using that analogy in physicality.
Mm-hmm.
The sun is 93 million miles away from the earth. The, you take that and you divide it by 186,000 some odd miles per second. And of course you have to now translate, change that into minutes. So you times 69, you take 60 times 186,000 some odd thing. And divide it into 93 million, and you come out 8.4 something. I've done the math. No. What this break down into is, look at the wind again. That light left the sun 8.5 minutes ago.
I hear you.
So what you see is not, it came from, oh my God. Well, here's where we're trying to break this down. As you look into time, as you look into the matrix, as you look into what you call is life, what shows up, amen, it is sourced from eternity. Y'all don't hear me this morning. For purpose. For God's purpose. That thing shows up because God had use for it.
Come on with it. That's right.
Things don't just happen.
Oh,
But what Paul is basically trying to convey here is that we, in our minds and our spirits and our conscience, we must live and dwell in spirituality even while we manifestly move through physicality.
Or else.
You in for a roller coaster ride.
Mm-hmm.
You in for a roller coaster ride.
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody said to me, you know, some things are always happening. what sphere do you think you're in? Physicality. This there for testimony's sake. Now what I want to do is I want to move and I'm going to hit on one term and just follow me. And I said, well, you know, the pastor, just follow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, if we get to the meat of this thing, mm-hmm. Amen. We're going to be heads up on life.
Hallelujah.
And things are going to stop beating us up every day.
Oh,
because we know better. Let's turn to, and here I'm going to do a little, basically, what we call textual synthetic. We're going to move, I'm going to bring some things in and tie it into this term, relativity, in the sense of a word that we use, that scientism use, metaphysics. Everybody said metaphysics.
Metaphysics.
Ooh, that pastor, just follow, please. Meta is the Greek word meta, which is a prefix that speaks of beyond, anything that is beyond. And of course, the physical aspect of life. So here we are dealing in things that are beyond physical. Which means what? One word. Spiritual. Spiritual. Spiritual.
Yes. Amen.
Huh? Yeah, notice, and I challenge the ministry to preach from these epistles on a prioritized basis. Because this is the grace message for the grace dispensation. Which deal in the eternal, everlasting stream
mm-hmm.
of those things that are genuinely mm-hmm. spiritual.
Yeah.
Here, as we look at this word, let us turn to, what did I say? 2 Corinthians 3:18. Everybody's. We're just going to pull a word out of there. I'm pulling nuggets out. I'm mining nuggets this morning.
Amen. Yeah.
All right, now you notice where Paul places this verse. You see, when you're in to the essence of actually drawing out the benefits of your contract,
mm-hmm.
you basically go in there and you see areas where Paul has dropped nuggets, and usually it follows some suffering,
mm-hmm.
some adverse situation. Some troubles. And you know, most a lot of ministry today is about five ways to keep from suffering. Which runs counter to the word of God that says what? Those that live godly what?
In Christ Jesus.
You're gonna be in this world, you can you run through the rain without getting wet? No. Now, here he juxtaposes the essence, and we don't have time, and I think we've touched on this before. He compares that which is good and glorious as was given to Moses, with that which is what?
More glorious.
Yes. Which is exceeding the glory of Moses.
Amen.
And this is what he is saying. This is what the grace message does. It exceeds and excels above all the other writings in the Bible. Because it is comprised of the mystery, the revelation, that which was hid from ages and now is revealed.
That's right. Amen.
Which gives the eternal perspective of looking down on life instead of around in life. Just read that 18th verse and remember now, he's comparing spirit with the physical, or he's comparing in the sense of breaking it down here specifically the message given in one covenant, that is in the Mosaic covenant or in the law, and also even in kingdom, to that which is given in grace. And let me say this, I just make it plain. I believe in getting plain, and especially those that are watching and those here, hopefully you understand this, that the grace covenant is not to be amalgamated or blended with the new covenant.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
That with Jesus preached is not the message. That message Jesus preached, he preached to who? I came not unto who, but the lost sheep of Israel. That is the kingdom message. That is not your message. The grace message is in the grace covenant, and the grace covenant is different from the message in the new covenant. New covenant, kingdom. Grace covenant, grace. Listen, if you do not divide this vow according to dispensations and covenants,
mm-hmm,
my friend, you're going to be confused. All right, read.
We're reading from the book of 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 18, first from the King James Version. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory.
He's speaking in manifestation of the effects of that benefit upon you as you draw from the wells of the essence of the mystery of that which was hid, and as the Lord reveals it unto you, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be abundantly blessed.
Thank God. Yes. Thank
and I'm not talking about getting a raise on the job. And I hope you do get that. But I'm talking about spirituality. Spiritual blessings. You shall be able to draw from what Paul refers to in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, having blessed us with what? Each and every spiritual blessing. Where are they? In the heavens. Where are the heavens? In Christ. This is what he's talking about here. Read.
Even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
All right, let's go to the Greek.
Now from the interlinear Greek text.
Everybody got it? Amen. Now if you don't have it, and the reason we go to the Greek interlineal, those that may be watching for the first time, is that at least he has the Greek script in there and the English word is under it. And if he goes off record, he's got to make some notation there.
Yes.
So his feet are held closer to the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't just put something in there and there's nothing there. to underline it.
Right.
All right.
2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, interlinear Greek text. But we all, having been
now
unveiled.
Now you notice that? This is why I can't stand here and be intimidated by someone might say, well, Pastor, you're speaking about things that people don't understand. Da, 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 da. Who's the teacher?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit is the teacher.
Amen.
And who he has previously assigned this to, their faces of their understanding haven't been what? Paul said, I pray the eyes be understanding, haven't been enlightened, what? That you will know what? The hope of this precious, of his precious calling for you, and the glorious inheritance that you have received. This is pre-assigned knowledge. So, as I stand here, I have to depend upon the Holy Spirit. Open and bring to your comprehension what these words are. Not say, well, I'm not going to preach this. I'm going to go back to, let's go back into Exodus and we're going to go through the Red Sea this morning. Everybody understand that and everybody can get happy. No, no. Get out of the microcosm. Because God has assigned this comprehension. Haven't been unveiled.
Having been unveiled with face the glory of Lord.
So is your of the deep things of God. The cover is removed from our eyes. Read.
Beholding in a mirror.
Stop! Oh, no, I'm not going to have time this morning. In the fall, we come back. Oh, my God. Keep reading.
Beholding in a mirror the same image.
Everything is reflective. Here, one document that I will be conveying, make available in the fall, deals with the grace covenant, which is like looking in a mirror, but it's not a reflector going backwards. It is a reflector going forward.
Yeah. Amen.
It is a reflector of the future. How you gonna get a reflector of the future and you run this? That's what the grace covenant is. It is our contract for eternality.
Amen.
Not the time.
No.
Yeah, there are benefits you can understand, but this is why when Peter writes in 2 Peter, I forgot the verse there, but he said, in some of the epistles, Paul is writing things that are hard for us to understand. Then why go there? Because I have confidence in the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
To convey these things. And then Paul writes one case, he said, comparing what? Spiritual with what? Spiritual. You cannot explain. What he is saying here as this is driven out and, oh my God, beholding in the mirror, I'm tempted, but I know I can't believe. Finish reading that, Brother Deacon, first. Finish reading that. Starting with beholding in a mirror.
Beholding in a mirror the same image.
What is it doing for us?
Are being changed from glory to glory.
This thing is helping us. And here's the kicker. Finish that up.
Even as from Lord Spirit.
Spirit. We're getting the spirit aspect of life and what things are.
Yes.
We're getting the benefits of comprehension. and turmoil. And we can't be intimidated.
That's right. Come on.
Because we all know what you're talking about.
Glory to God. Thank God.
The Holy Spirit.
Yes. Yes. Glory to God.
He's the teacher.
Yes, sir.
And what he's saying here, this is one of the clauses in our contract that we will know more than they knew. Why take you back there in the Garden of Eden? They didn't know that much. Why take you into Noah's Ark? Very limited. Abraham, very limited. Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Moses, Moses, that's the law. Very limited. And through Kings and Chronicles, and these are glorious incidents. I'm not trying to negate and say that those are not glorious. This takes us beyond what the disciples knew.
Yeah.
What John the Baptist knew.
Yeah.
What the 70 knew.
Yeah.
This takes us into the essence of that which is not disclosed, which was hidden from generations until he revealed it to Paul. Oh, give the Lord a hand. The verb translated being changed, metamorphumeta. It is a compound word. Gen, prefix meta means what? Beyond. Beyond what? Beyond the change. What is the change? What is the ultimate change that is to occur? Going back to Romans 8 and 5, from what? From physicality to spirituality.
Yes.
And let me pull another nugget in. I'm fighting time this morning. I'm watching the clock. Oh, God. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Hold that Romans 8 and 5 now, because that's where we're going. That's where we're going to land. We're into orbit. That's where we're going to. That's where we're going to end up today. Oh God, hallelujah! Sometimes as I'm studying into the night, amen. I can't do like I do when I'm here by myself. I know that nobody's in the building. I can. Sometimes I just scream to the top of my voice. Oh, this is too much. Amen. I wake up everybody in the house if I do that at home. Amen. But this. Oh my God! Do you know how much you are blessed?
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
To sit in the presence of God and receive communication, the essence of what things are, versus manifestation of how such may seem. Let's go to verse 5 right quickly. Now here again, in context, many will run to that first verse and they end up in physicality. Even though that word substance or essence is dealing with what is. What really is. Versus what seems to be. You're going through something, and that thing is wearing you to death. And it's nothing but an illusion. Because you're caught up in the process. Hear me this morning. And the process is not in any way related to the catalyst, that is the causative aspect of what it is. It's about purpose, not process. Purpose controls the process. Stop saying, "What is this?" If you're going to ask a question to the Lord, what's it going to be? Lord, what is this for? Your purpose. And that's the difference between process and purpose. And so as Paul writes this, amen, in the context here, we've hit on that third verse for just a second. I'm not going there. I think we did it in the pastor's pen, basically. But creation is according to a saying. One saying. No matter what it is, what's happening, it's according to a saying, which resides in spirituality, which is eternality, not time. God's purpose is the catalyst. It is the cause of whatever is going on in your life. I wish God would do it another way. He said, now here I am with my little pea brain. Going to tell God how to run. And it's irrelevant anyway because it's already done.
Oh, I hear you.
So what is must be because it already is. And it has been before it showed up in that frame that you say, I wish it wasn't there. Oh, how many times that knowledge has come to my rescue. Well, it didn't come out the way that I thought. And I was like, well, because that's not the way that God has designed it. God's not going to do it that way. Forget it. Who's the boss? Why do we call him Lord? That means what?
Boss, owner.
Means boss, owner. Oh, he's my Lord. And then, he has the agenda. Doesn't the boss set the agenda at your job? Huh?
He's
the boss. Everything, when, how, where, how long? I'm not a God now. That boss, you can cut him off after 80 hours. But I'm not there. This is 24/7. And so as we speak of life and we speak of things, we must separate the spiritual from the physical. And by the way, those elders didn't obtain a good report. That's speaking of that which was assigned to them. Because the same Moses that... I won't get into the amen. That did one thing in one instance, did something else. Not so pleasant and pleasing in another.
That is true.
The same David that did something in one instance, he did something that wasn't too right. The same Elijah. Stood up against all of those prophets, and one woman come and say, I'm going to have your head back. He took off running. Same, what's the difference? That's God. All right, now when you get to this verse 5, remember now, focus here is faith. I'm And what you need faith for is to be what God has said.
Right. Right.
Because sometimes it's going to conflict with what you see. I should say many times. Read that fifth verse.
I'm reading from the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the fifth verse, King James Version. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death.
Now, as a little boy, I remember being in Sunday school. That's the thing that could frustrate you. Enoch was so perfect and holy and sanctified until he basically earned his ticket to heaven. Look at the context of what it's saying here. Now, if I was reading in the Old Testament in Genesis, maybe there could be some excuse because not enough is known in that covenant. Not enough is known in conscience. But when we get to the grace covenant, and here it is as a clause, listen to me, as you dig, it will tell you, it will, in its advancement of the grace covenant, it will give the information that you will know and understand that there's no way without destroying grace, you can earn anything. As I was explaining the other night in Bible study, it's like, having a mortgage. You know, most of us have mortgages. And there's some clauses in there. You got to meet them each month. And if you don't, you lose the benefit of that contract, don't you? And it's not even a partnership thing where you can pay part and they pay part. If you don't pay at all, what happens? You lose, man. You lose. You lose it. That's what the law does. The law says you do it or you dead.
That's what it says.
The grace covenant, there's no mortgage.
None.
Why? Because it's paid.
Already paid.
Never was a mortgage.
Never.
And that's why there are no conditions.
Yeah.
Now here's, as he moved into this, now I said that to get by this stuff about Enoch. Finish reading that, Brother Deacon. I'm gonna run about 3 or 4 minutes over this morning. Y'all, come on now. There's something out there waiting for you to just ruin your day. Read.
By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him.
That's the word I'm going to hit on. Read.
For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God.
No. See, that's the way the King James put it. Because you know why? Because they're drawn from Genesis. Instead of following the strip. Let's go to the Greek.
Now, Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 5, interlinear Greek text. By faith, Enoch was removed.
That's exactly what that word means.
Not
that Greek word there is metatisthi. Meta, beyond. was moved beyond. He was moved beyond physicality. And let me tell you that this morning, everybody sitting here, regardless of what your state is, my God, at some point, you are removed beyond physicality. Read.
Enoch was removed not to see death.
He didn't experience the physical aspect of what we call separation in the transition part, that is. Go ahead.
And was not found.
Uh-huh.
Because removed him.
That is
God.
But you can. Oh, God. Methe, the king. What is that, brother? Deacon?
That perfect
is in the passive voice.
Perfect indicative in the passive voice.
In the passive voice. So it was something that he was doing. God removed him. Verse 6.
For before the removal, he has obtained witness.
That was also in the what? Passive voice. Passive voice means what? Something is being done to you. He didn't obtain anything. You've destroyed grace once you get into merit. If it's by merit, then it's not by grace. But you don't get this information back in Genesis. Finish that.
For before removal, he has obtained witness to have been well pleasing.
So it had been given to him a witness of being well pleasing. Mm-hmm. Same with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In eternity, it was given to you. The status of being well-pleasing.
Yes, mm-hmm.
That's what we call grace.
Mm-hmm.
It was...
mm-hmm.
How could God call David a man after my own heart? After what he did. Well, how could he call me, member of the body of Christ, based upon my depraved nature, or your depraved nature? It was pre-assigned. That's what this is saying.
Yeah.
All right, read.
To have been well-pleasing to God without but faith, impossible to be well-pleasing.
Okay, we'll stop there. But I mean, you know, this is what calls some people. The Bible, you know, it contradicts itself. On one end, it's saying he's pleasing, and then it says it's impossible to please. Because on the first part, it didn't say he of himself was pleasing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No. No.
This is why we stop and we exegete.
Amen.
And so you have that word trance that's rendered translate there, which we're not going to have time. Our time is gone this morning. I knew I was going to be really pressured this morning. But it is the Greek word that basically means moved beyond.
Amen.
You see, the problem with metaphysics, beyond physics, of the way they do it, is that they end up attempting to explain physicality with physicality.
Mm-hmm.
And they get through. All you got is a big question mark. Even equations won't close.
That's right.
That thing is metaphysical. It's just hanging out there. Metaphysics won't do it. You cannot get beyond physicality in the venue of physicality. I'm going to finish this paragraph this morning. Let's go back here. Y'all just hang with me. Now give me a few more minutes here this morning. That's on page 30. Those remember who click on the icon and hopefully you're able to follow us here. The second paragraph of page 30. This is Romans 8 and 6. I'm just going to read this. At least I'm attempt to. Romans 8 and 6 states, "For those being according to the flesh, consider on the things of the flesh. But those according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." This verse conveys emphatically differentiation of the influential mediums. Remember, two mediums that charter opposing conceptions, that is spiritual and physical. They have opposing conceptions of what, where, and how things are structured in ontologism. It is right there, the meaning. How they are structured in existence of being. How things actually exist. Metaphysics is conveying things in physicality, and it's saying one thing. It's a philosophy. It's a philosophy of science. It said this is how things are. And then the scriptures are in the opposite vein. Here, thus the conversely opposite mediums, that is according to the flesh, that's things that are in materiality, and the spirit, distinguish, again, we have the Greek word ondes, which is really being, existence, and characterizations of their respectively individualized locales. The underlying consideration is the essence of existence and its corresponding verity or truth. What's the bottom line? Subsistence, survivability. It's there. If it's real, it's there. It ain't going nowhere. The defining entity of thing abides in essence. What such ones, here we have the Greek word for nousin, when the think or consider or assess. This is what situate cognitively, that is knowledge-wise, comprehension-wise. The persuasions of thinkings or cognitions prevail in God's people in proportion, listen to this, to their scripture comprehension in the verities of eternalities. So what makes you know what is how much the Holy Spirit brings to your comprehension.
Amen.
As to what's what.
Thank God.
Yes. Conformity of everything actualized solely in spirituality excels. Now we get into this. Beyond meta. It excels beyond even the most positive perspectives in materiality. Exudes the formless, that is spiritual, superiority in being parameters. We'll deal with that in the fall. Everybody say being parameters. What is concise in the juxtaposition of the comparison presented and conferring circulations and subsequent subjections included in their deemed possessions favorably consent where? In the spirit. If it's in physicality, that thing is gone. Here one day, one second, it could be gone the next. It's not there. Why doesn't it stay there? It doesn't stay there because it's not there. And never was there. It was a representation in the matrix. What happens when the light go out? Nothing. You have nothing. What do you have? What do you have? When the light goes out, what do you have? You don't have anything. Empty. Void. What is concise in the disposition, as we said, represented in conferring circulations and subsequent subjections included in a deemed possession, favorably consent in the spirit. Erstwhile, repudiations of assemblages, a journey in flesh, the physical, secular measures, the matrix, said that's all you looking at, and you are disappointed day by day.
Oh, yes.
Because everything in there is going to let you down.
Oh, yes.
Surely. Everybody says surely. The coordinates of confined, inherent expressions of eternalities, gratitude and generosity, surpasses severe contentions in the possessions misconstrued universally of existent variance in nominal materiality. What we're saying here, and we close here, my God, hallelujah. Oh, my God, if you're looking for something that you can depend upon, rest in, be assured of. And know beyond everything and anything that you have something that you can hold.
That's it. Amen.
You cannot be in the matrix. You cannot grasp and possess and control that which is only a representation. This is why we move away from processes. We move away from time. And thank God as we move from time, we move away from the turbulences in time, from the currents, from the rocket byways and highways, from the ditches that we fall in. Oh, y'all hear me this morning. We move away from the heartaches and the pain. Oh, and the things that churn in our stomach and give the muscles. We move away. We move away from these things because we are translated by the renewing of our mind. And as we learn the essence of what things are and where they abide, we can sing like the old folks used to sing. And I don't hear that song too much anymore. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold, can you say hold? Can you say hold to God's unchanging hand? Build your hope. Can you say build your hope? Build your hope. Build your hope on things where eternal. Hold, can you say hold? Can you say hold to God's unchanging hand? My friends, all of that is in eternality. God bless you.
Give God a hand, praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.